Welcome to another episode of Crossing Soccer Board, a podcast focused on the growth of CONCACAF soccer. Before we get started, we want to thank you for listening. I am Rudy, and co-hosting is my brother Rodrigo.
We're going to break down some of CONCACAF Champions League to begin with. And it's fun to see them play. They're starting to pick up minutes. And, you know, now we have there's five MLS teams playing against three Liga MX teams. And it's just going to get better. It's going to be fun, exciting soccer. This is the quarterfinals. And, yeah, it's going to be very fun to watch. Rodrigo, what are your thoughts on this so far?
Hey, welcome everybody to the show. This is exciting. We're seeing a lot of big competition now, mostly MLS versus Liga MX. That's the matchups we're going to be looking into, and we fully expected this from both sides as teams are getting stronger from those regions. No surprises from the first round. And now we get exciting matches. I mean, who doesn't like to see the MLS versus Liga MX go head-to-head? And then from the other side, UEFA Champions League, we get the semifinals. And I think this is going to be an exciting week we're going to have. If you love football all around, this is the week that's going to be hyping it up.
Yeah, and it's definitely like a fun week. I think we're super excited. And with that, we'll kick off with the Atlanta United-Philadelphia matchup. Both of these teams played this weekend, not against each other, but they put their full squad, you know, all their starting 11 for their home opening matches in the MLS. Atlanta United just, you know, pretty much not necessarily a full capacity stadium in a Mercedes-Benz stadium. But they were just playing so much better. Their opposition with Chicago Fire. And again, they play with all their starters. And if you haven't gotten a chance to either see the highlights or at least see one of the main clips, which was this rocket of a shot from Ezequiel Barco after he took a free kick, it bounced off the wall, and he just went ahead and just hit it as hard as he could. And man, Rodrigo looked like he was going to tear a hole in the net. It was just a fantastic goal. The team played very well. Chicago Fire, it was definitely outclassed. Atlanta United with Gabriel Heinze as their coach looks like a very fun team. They're, again, just, you know, high intensity. It was good to see, like I mentioned, Ezequiel Barco step up finally as a young Argentinian guy that Atlanta United paid a ton of money to get. And when they had big departures like Miguel Almirón to EPL, he was supposed to be one of the people to step up, and we all know what happened in 2020, kind of slowed down the process. But it looks like Ezequiel Barco is doing very well. And again, Atlanta just completely a better team than Chicago Fire. Similar in shots and shots on target, but again, they were able to finish. Rodrigo, what do you think about this one? And Joseph Martinez getting some time as well. It was good to see him.
Yeah, Atlanta United versus Philadelphia Union. Yeah, no, we definitely get an exciting match between Atlanta United and Philadelphia Union. Like you're mentioning, Ezequiel Barco has been an outstanding player for Atlanta United. I believe he's received his third man of the match in four games, which that's pretty impressive. I mean, that tells you the quality of player he brings to the table, especially with a Joseph Martinez that's not 100%. He hasn't played 90 minutes yet, a couple 30 and 60 minutes here and there, not a full match yet. But Ezequiel Barco, yeah, it's an amazing player, great midfielder. Once Joseph Martinez is back in and training, playing at 100%, we're going to see a very special team from Atlanta United and the whole MLS, CONCACAF Champions. We're going to see this pretty develop better. And as you mentioned, Gabriel Heinze is their coach. You can already see the defense getting stronger. And being the center back that he was, I'm sure he brings a lot of level into this back four. They've kept three clean sheets already in the four games that they've played, and held Chicago just to one goal. That just shows you how strength their defense are right now. And one player I kind of want to touch on too is Lisandro Lopez. Older player, he was a great player with Leon, was actually one of my favorite players growing up watching him play. I thought he was going to do a lot more, and he kind of started falling off a cliff. But he's looking in a little bit of rhythm, kind of has the same Joseph Martinez expectations, I would say, as far as getting into rhythm, only playing a couple minutes here and there. But I think once he gets into full rhythm with the team, I think we're going to see a good offensive dual threat there. And with Philadelphia Union, they've been having a rough start in the MLS season. They drew against Columbus, obviously a tough team to play against. They drew 0-0. And then in that Miami, they lost 2-1 against them, with the Higuain brothers having a good match. And then, as we know from the first round, they rolled over Saprissa 5-0 aggregate. But the players to watch here, I hope I say this correctly, but it's Yamiro Monteiro. I'm not sure the country, I forgot, but he's been a good midfielder for them. He's been outstanding, controlling their mid. And then they also have the Polish Kapper. I want to say that's how you pronounce it. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but the Polish player looks like he's doing well. I believe he either had an assist or score in the last few games too. And we expect Philadelphia Union to maybe be, you know, taking more punches on this one. And we'll see the Jamaican goalkeeper out there trying to stop this Atlanta United team from scoring.
Yeah, Philadelphia, again, had a home opener, had their pretty much their main starters playing, you know, showing off for the fans for sure. And they played very well. It's not that they played bad, even though they lost against the Inter Miami. Well, more like they lost to the Inter Higuain, because both of the brothers scored to beat Philadelphia Union. But this is going to be a fun match. Like you said, CONCACAF is getting, you know, less and less teams, and the teams that are there because they're definitely put in the work to be there. And this matchup is going to be a very exciting one. I think this definitely the only matchup in this quarterfinals where two teams from the same nation face. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun one to see Atlanta United against Philadelphia. I guess we'll start cutting it short. And I just want to let y'all know that this matchup would be on Tuesday, April 27th. At 7 p.m. So feel free to, if you are a big fan of Atlanta United or Philadelphia, to watch this matchup. But Rodrigo, unless you have anything else to add, I'll jump on to the next one, which is Toronto FC against Cruz Azul. Toronto has been playing well overall. However, in MLS, they've definitely seen some of their players kind of like mix match them. They don't have everybody fully healthy yet, with the likes of which Jose Altidore, I haven't seen him play, nor the Spaniard. I don't know if he played this weekend, but needless to say, Toronto, we know the type of team they are. A while back, maybe 10 years ago, they were probably the worst team in MLS and probably the worst team overall. But Toronto has just made a really good, branding themselves very well as one of the top teams in MLS. And sure enough, they tied against Vancouver Whitecaps yesterday, being Saturday. And yeah, they're missing a lot of their main pieces. So I'm hoping that for this matchup against Cruz Azul, they definitely come prepared to just take that gruel match against a Mexican team. We all know that Toronto FC went to the final maybe 3 years back against Chivas and was so close, losing in PKs. And then in Cruz Azul, they actually have been playing very well. They've tied against Club America last week, and they beat Atlético San Luis 3-2 yesterday as well. And they've been playing well. I think they're still top of their league. Like Rodrigo had mentioned in the past, they definitely are looking into finally racing that Liga MX championship that, you know, they've been so, so close and keep falling short. But Rodrigo, what are you thinking about this matchup? What players do you think are going to be the fun ones to watch?
So Toronto FC against Cruz Azul. Yeah, we get one of those exciting matches, Canadian team versus Mexican team. I'll start with the Toronto side. So like you mentioned, Altidore has been playing. He was subbed in against Vancouver. He hasn't been starting or seeing his regular minutes like we've seen in the past. Michael Bradley, obviously the key piece there. He's a consistent player. It's basically the glue for this team. Always holds it together pretty well. And yeah, like you mentioned, I believe Pozuelo has been out with a muscle injury still. So I don't think we're going to see him against Cruz Azul. I'm not sure when he's set to return. And one player from Toronto that I've been watching or seeing develop right now has been the Brazilian, I want to say it's pronounced Auro, maybe with a Brazilian accent there, but you know, I believe he's playing left back for them, and he's been playing really well. Like, he kind of gives me one of those vibes like we've seen with Alphonso Davies. You know, he's quick, he's composed, he makes good decisions, and I see that this is going to be a good player for Toronto. Hopefully we see more of him, and we'll probably see him against Cruz Azul. And then from the Cruz Azul side, yeah, like you mentioned, Cruz Azul has been on top of it. They're probably have the best record right now overall. They've, on the last four games, they've actually won three of them and tied against one, which was against America. And the biggest piece that I guess they're missing, but it doesn't affect them, would be Corona, the goalkeeper. So as we know, I didn't realize how old he was, but he's 40 years old now. So I think he's been out, not sure for the reasons why. I don't know if it's health related or injury related. But the good thing is for them, they do have Sebastián Jurado, which if anybody caught the pre-Olympic game with Mexico and the CONCACAF, he was ended up being the starter goalkeeper after I forgot his name. The first goalkeeper from Mexico ended up getting a pretty bad injury, and he stepped in. And funny enough, I haven't seen an assist from a goalkeeper. You know, it's kind of rare, but he had one this weekend, early minutes on the game against San Luis. So that was kind of fun to watch. And the other players to watch there, obviously, is going to be Jonathan Rodriguez and Elias Hernandez. This duo, especially playing on that same side, I think we're going to see a lot of that and see if Toronto can stop them. I do expect Cruz Azul, even though they're doing well in the tournament in the Mexican League, I do expect them to come with a stronger team than they did against Arcahai FC. So we should see most of their starters, if not all, I want to say. We know Toronto and all these MLS teams have been slowly getting into rhythm. And Rudy and I were kind of discussing the subs that they have, and every team right now is using all of their five subs for the most part to get everybody into rhythm, especially the teams playing in the CONCACAF Champions League.
So yeah, this matchup of Toronto FC Cruz Azul, also a Tuesday matchup, April 27 at 9 p.m. So, you know, both of them very good matches. Definitely catch both of those. I still don't have any favorites, but definitely none of the games. I think it's really hard to tell right now. So we should see what leg one shows us. But jumping into the next matchup, which I still think this is probably one of the best matchups out of all the really, really good matchups. But it's Columbus Crew playing Monterrey, Los Rayados. And fun fact is Columbus Crew, with the way MLS is set up currently, it seems like one team kind of sits out, kind of has a bye each week. And the lucky winners of that was Columbus Crew. And what makes that good is obviously gives them plenty of time to recover if they have any injuries or any pieces they're missing, for them to come as full as a team or a full squad with their starters as they can against this Monterrey team that we all know is a very good team. It's historically one of the best in this competition. So, you know, hopefully Columbus Crew can get their main players, you know, going. They did play again last week and tied 0-0 against Philadelphia. And this is their time. You know, I still put them, well, in the very beginning, they're like my dark horse. Obviously, the closer we get, the less teams. We only have 8 teams left. So they're, you know, with Lucas Celarayán, with Jesse Sardes, with Arthur, with a bunch of good players that they have, I can see them this matchup giving Monterrey a lot of issues. And for Monterrey's side, they lost against Tigres, so they lost El Clásico Regio, and they saw that, I believe, is their captain, which who has been their captain maybe, but he got red carded. But I don't think that should affect this matchup. But Monterrey obviously played this weekend, played all their starters, and came short against Tigres. So they are definitely probably going to be very wore out for a mid-week matchup. Definitely no excuse for them. But Rodrigo, what do you think we should see out of this matchup between Columbus Crew and Monterrey that maybe you see being exciting?
Honestly, like you mentioned, this is going to be the most exciting match we have. I honestly do think it could be a little bit lopsided in favor of Columbus. Them, you know, were your dark horse of the tournament to me. They were the favorite, and I can clearly see that they do have the biggest possibility of winning this tournament still. They do get a little bit of luck, like you mentioned, with the scheduling for the MLS, and then Monterrey gets a little bit of bad luck because not only they just played one of the big derbies in Mexico, the Clásico Regio against Tigres, you know, they had to put their best squad out there. They also had a midweek game against Chivas, which they also lost. And the weekend before that, they lost against Pachuca. So the last victory that they have gotten was against Pantoja in this tournament, the CONCACAF Champions League tournament. But losing 3 games in a row, going against the Columbus, going to be well rested. You know, everybody in the team sat around, watched this Tigres versus Monterrey game to study the game, to see how they're playing. You know, Monterrey has Jesús Gallardo, which is a really good left back for Monterrey and for Mexico as well, as he's getting more minutes there. And, you know, Columbus has studied them. They get a week off to only focus in Monterrey and see how they play. And with Lucas Celarayan being, you know, player that played in Tigres, he has probably the passion to go out there and, you know, get another win against Monterrey. And Jesse Sardes has been on fire too. So I see this Columbus team to go fully out, everybody, you know, playing at their best, and they get to play at home. So that's another big, big thing for them on this first leg.
Yeah, you're right. And then Monterrey, like you mentioned, they've been struggling for sure. Obviously losing against Tigres, losing against Guadalajara, losing against Pachuca, and their last win being against Atletico Pantoja, which, not to disrespect anybody, was definitely one of the weakest teams. Not because of maybe their league necessarily, but we talked about how they hadn't even played since in November. So yeah, a lot of things kind of going Monterrey the wrong way. But again, this matchup maybe what changes things. And yet it could be Columbus. If they beat Monterrey, they could definitely keep building up that drive to continue going. But again, that matchup will be played on Wednesday, April 28th at 7:30 p.m. So again, another good matchup. This is going to be a very fun and exciting week for sure. And with that, we jump to the last I was going to say quarterfinal, but that's right. The next matchup against Portland versus Club America. Very good matchup. Another fun one to watch. I'll start with Club America, just talking a little bit about them. They played this weekend. They actually lost to Toluca. Actually, they played today, and they lost to Toluca 3-1. And their lineup was, I mean, they had some decent players. I don't think they had all their starters. It was a good kind of mix of a little bit, mostly starters, but a few people got some rest. You know, you still had Roger Martinez out there, which is probably like their better striker. Memo Ochoa playing. And players such as like Benedetti were out there. And they just kind of, I don't know, necessarily falling apart. I did not watch the entire game, but it seemed that Toluca scored pretty early on and they just couldn't get back into it. And then Portland, another team that saw action this weekend. But, you know, Rodrigo, I'll let you talk a little bit more about Club America before going to Portland and see if you saw anything in particular leading up to the game.
Yeah, focusing on Club America, they have been struggling the last couple games. They did. Their last big victory was against Tigres, beating them 3-1. But after that, they had the CONCACAF Champions League match against Olimpia, which they lost at home. And then they drew against Clásico Joven against Cruz Azul. And the last, like you mentioned earlier today, they lost against Toluca 3-1. So they've been struggling. As you mentioned, they did have a mix of players. The main players to focus on that we're gonna see against Portland is probably gonna be Roger Martinez, and we also have Richard Sanchez. But their defense, it's been, you know, shaky. Ochoa has always been a good player, and he continues to be a captain for the team. But we also have Bruno Valdez stepping up and being a good center back for them. But the key thing for this game is, are we going to see Gio Dos Santos? Are we going to see Cordoba out there? Are we going to, you know, see the Henry Martin? These players are the ones that would make the difference for America at this point. But they right now doesn't seem like they've been on shaky ground. So let's just put it like that, and we'll see what team they come out against Portland with.
Yeah, and I wanted to focus on Club America first, because Portland actually played this weekend against Houston Dynamo, which obviously that's our home team basically. But Portland playing at home, played basically with half their starters. A few guys, and then basically they subbed in five of their starters and took out five of their starters. So they did a good job of resting their players, getting them minutes, and keeping them in playing form for this mid-week matchup against Club America. And Diego Valeri he was in the bench. He wasn't supposed to start, obviously. We didn't even know he was going to see action. We know how valuable and such a great number 10 and has an amazing vision of the field. But the reason he was questionable was because his father passed away during the week, and they obviously speculated that he may not play. But, you know, maybe some players have the "my dad would want to see me play." So we saw him out there. He almost scored a goal. But with that said, the team was just very good. Very composed in the first minutes, got an early goal. And then Dynamo actually played much better, got an equalizer. And eventually Portland, like any good team, breaks down their opponent, especially at home, using their crowd, which is still not a full capacity there in Oregon. But they played very, very well. Rodrigo, do you have anything to add to this Portland matchup or squad?
Yeah, as you mentioned, a little obviously disappointed in Houston Dynamo not getting the victory away against Portland. But I see a Portland team that has been trying to get things going as well. or at least it's still early in the season for, you know, Portland, and, well, not to focus on the Dynamo, but the Dynamo, you know, they've been playing really well. First match, they played well, and then this one, they kind of started going in the right path, and then second half, they just kind of went downhill from there. With the rhythm not being there, players not being 100% on both sides. The subs is what is going to be the biggest point early in the season. If you can use all your five subs to get some players rested and get them going to 100%, this is what's going to help out the MLS teams. They do have a little bit of an advantage in that standpoint, but it's also, you know, early in their season that they're not in rhythm. And Portland has been doing a great job at that. Like you mentioned, Diego Valeri being going into that second half, bringing a little bit more to the team. And they found the win. And just to do a little recap of their last couple games, so they beat the Dynamo 2-1 on Saturday night, and then they lost against Vancouver earlier. And then, as we know, how the things end with Marathon. So they haven't been doing, you know, like, amazing. So this Club America, it's just going to be a really good match between both of them, because I feel both of them have the equal advantage, per se. So it's not going to be a thing that we're going to see, you know, Club America or Portland dominate one another. It's going to be a pretty evenly match, and it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I think honestly, you know, the teams overall should be very equal talent-wise. They both have good depth. But what's funny is Portland, what they can help them, obviously in this game on Wednesday, is the fact that they play in artificial turf. And it is very difficult for teams to go out there and, you know, get used to it quickly. And I'm sure we'll talk about it next week when they play away. But going to Mexico City with the altitude and just the stadium, it's just definitely a different factor for sure. But Portland, for them to, you know, keep it close, they need to not get scored on at home. And hopefully they can pull out a win, you know, or at least don't not fall in too many with too many goals behind their net. But yeah, that was a fun matchup for them to see this weekend. And this matchup this week on Wednesday, April 28th at 9:30 p.m. is going to be a good one to watch as well. Portland fans are probably happy that this is a 7:30 o'clock game for them. But quick, just mention, we're pretty much just concluded our talk with CONCACAF Champions League. But I do want to do a little plug and mention that if you are a Dynamo fan and you want to know more about the team and just more details about games or get more articles, I would definitely suggest that you visit dynamotheory.com. They do a great job of talking about the games, breaking down the games. And like I said, it's strange that the Dynamo was somehow a part of this conversation. We were not planning for that, but Portland is in this CONCACAF Champions League, and it's good to see that. But with that being said, we'll take a quick break, and we'll continue with our talk. Before we go on, we want to thank our sponsor. Located about a mile away from Space Center Houston, find the All Pros Barbershop at 999 East NASA Parkway. Luis and his team will hook you up with a fresh haircut and a clean beard trim. Give them a call at 832-240-4267 or book your appointment online via Booksy. Make sure to follow them on Instagram to see their amazing work. Again, that is All Pros Barbershop, changing lives one haircut at a time. Cool, now we move to another Champions League, which is the UEFA Champions League. I mean, it doesn't get better than this. And you know, Rodrigo, one thing that I'm glad we did not talk on last episode was that whole Super League that lasted 48 hours, man. Such a waste of time. All those greedy teams, which sadly are most of them are here in this four teams left. But this is what the Champions League is, right? Like, this is when you see the best matchups. And every now and then, you know, lower team, quote unquote, like jumps in, makes it to this far. It's rare, but that's kind of what, you know, it's fun to see, right? The little team, the little league, or the little league, or the little team, or, you know, the not so expensive club make it. Do you have any thoughts on that before we jump into the UEFA Champions League and break down the game? Or what do you think, you know, with especially with your very, well, granted, Barcelona, even though I don't follow them as closely as I did at one point, they were in there, Man U was in there, and obviously, like, Liverpool was in there. Do you want to add, just in particular with Liverpool? I want to hear your thoughts on that, man.
Yeah, like most people, I was one of them that I was upset when I heard about it, that they wanted to go forward with it, especially, you know, the teams that are owned by this giant billionaire corporations or anything like that. As we know, Liverpool is owned by FSG, who also owns the Red Sox, and they wanted to maybe do more of a American system where the top teams, everything competes there. As a player, as a supporter, I would say local supporter, nobody was happy with this. And the players did release a statement before the club did, I believe, or right around the same time. So I guess they kind of had the go ahead from the club. And basically they said, we do not support this. This is not, you know, in our values or something along those lines. Almost every single player tweeted the same message. So we all know that there was unity with the team, sorry. and I agree with them. I believe the Super League is still trying to be formed by the other clubs, which obviously Florentino Perez, Real Madrid's owner, he's one of the, or president, he's the biggest supporter in this, and he wants this to come, you know, a reality. But after seeing, you know, to me, it's like, if you're gonna be a Super League team, you have to be winning the league every single year almost. You have to be the top team. And we saw from this past recent games from those leagues, Real Madrid, come on, you drew against a team that I guess on paper you're supposed to win. You know, that's not a Super League quality team. Same thing with the other ones. I believe Milan and Juve, they also had struggled. Inter struggled. This is like, if you can beat teams on your own league by a good margin, what are we going to see? You know, we're just going to see this team maybe compete, and it's going to be a 0-0, 1-0 kind of game. Like, it's not going to be fun to watch. I think it's always fun to watch the superstar teams go maybe against a lower team, because you get the exciting of, like, are we going to see a goal fest, or are we going to see an upset? And they do go through with this. I do agree with them saying that if you want to compete in this, you're not going to compete in our competitions. I think that's fair. I mean, and I believe they're still going to get some kind of punishments. I don't know what. Real Madrid, they were saying, since Florentino Perez is so strong in this position, that they were basically saying that they might not let them play against Chelsea. But I think that's obviously not going to happen, and they're going to go on through the game. So that's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, let me just add, again, this is a really short rant. It's just kind of funny we didn't mention it last week, because it happened right after we did our podcast. But you're right. It's funny when you see teams like Arsenal or Man U, they're not competing for, like, the Champions League, and they're definitely struggling in their leagues, and they want to create the Super League because, of course, they're very famous teams, and, you know, they have a lot of very good brand name, very good recognition, have plenty of money with a lot of investors, you know, deep pocket investors that not necessarily are for the fans or for the city per se when they invest in the team. But, you know, teams like that make you more money. So, of course, it's interesting. We'll continue with that. Oh, you want to add one thing? Okay, go for it, man.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, if they really want to add some kind of Super League, something like that, they should just grow the World Club Cup. I love watching this competition, and it's so short. That's why I think this is the best time to maybe expand it more, include more teams.
Well, maybe that, just FYI, they are expanding it. I think not.
No, sorry, I'm aware they're expanding it. I'm just saying, like, add more teams, like, basically have four teams for UEFA. Oh, yeah. You know, more teams like that with any kind of, I guess, region, and actually make it into like a group kind of thing, or just straight out knockout. But I think they should just focus on that one first before trying to determine who's the Super League.
But see, even in that, this quick thing, I feel like that's a, like, I mean, the whole idea of stuff like that is that you win something, right? You win a tournament. And so if you put like, you know, the first, second, third, fourth team of a league, I mean, it kind of defeats the purpose of the even though, of course, like all the Champions Leagues are different. But anyways, we'll stop with that rant and go into the...
Wait, 1 second. I mean, if you want to go in that, you can do the same competition they're doing now and do the last four places. So, you know, that could bring us into this. So Real Madrid, Chelsea, PSG, and Man City could be part of that tournament. And same thing with the CONCACAF Champions League. Whoever is in the semifinals, they go into that tournament as well. But let's go on with this four teams.
And Rodrigo is very passionate about Liverpool not being a part of this. And I agree. But going with that, Real Madrid and Chelsea FC is the matchup we're going to jump into. Sadly, like Rodrigo mentioned, Real Madrid's president and pretty much all Real Madrid and Madrid are all wanting the Super League to happen. I think they even have like a lawsuit going, trying to get them exempt from the threats that UEFA and FIFA have told them, that if they create the Super League, they basically have to leave their leagues and blah, blah, blah. But anyways, and Chelsea kind of is in the same spot because, you know, they also, the Russian owner is definitely big into making more money. Like we saw them, they kind of honestly kind of came out of nowhere in the early 2000s. And I mean, they're this monster club now, super famous. Everybody around the world knows them. And this matchup is going to be a very fun one. Yeah, Real Madrid 0-0 against Real Betis. They beat Cadiz midweek. And then last Sunday, they also tied 0-0 against Getafe, which, wow, what a powerhouse, you know. But, yeah, so, well, and Chelsea actually ended up winning yesterday against West Ham United. And for them, the great thing that happened, I guess, was beating Man City last week to make it to the FA final, if I'm not mistaken. But Rodrigo, you want to add anything on this two or in this matchup for the first leg, and the players or teams that, or the players that you think are gonna, you know, be fun to watch?
Yeah, definitely. I actually watched the Chelsea game against West Ham. I was so disappointed in West Ham. They do have a great team. They had a team that could have beat Chelsea. Jesse Lingard has actually stepped it up from his Man U days. But the biggest disappointment was the referee decision. There was a challenge that the player, I forgot which one it was, ended up clearing the ball. But as he was clearing it, he ended up striking a player from Chelsea as he was going down with his foot. So it's just kind of like a normal motion after you clear the ball. And they went to VAR, and the ref came back saying that it was a red card. So I think that was the stupidest call ever. It maybe couldn't change the outcome of the game, but it just made Chelsea come out on top with this win, which Timo Werner actually scored. I believe this is fourth goal this season, fourth or sixth goal, I'm not sure. But as we know, we've seen his games, and he's missed so many clear opportunities in front of goal, some without a keeper, and he has been struggling in this. But I do like Tuchel's team. He's actually, you know, from what Lampard did, he has made a Chelsea team, I believe, more united. They're playing more as a team. They're playing well together. Lampard's love child, Mason Mount has actually been outstanding, even with Tuchel on top. And I see them going against Real Madrid. I think it's going to be a close game. Madrid is still going to be out without Sergio Ramos. And I believe they're getting Mendy. And I read Toni Kroos was out for the last match, and I think he's going to be fit to play. You know, that's going to be a big boost for them in the midfield. As far as the outcome, I see Madrid. You know, it's Zidane. We already know he already achieved 3 Champions League in a row with Madrid. He's looking for his 4th one and hopefully step back out of the team after this year. So I know he wants to win this one. I see them being probably the favorite out of the 4 teams to maybe win it. And then we'll talk, I guess, a little bit more about PSG and what they've been doing. But as far as this match goes, I think Madrid will go ahead in the first leg.
Yeah, I think, for Chelsea, it was good that Christian Pulisic saw like 70-plus minutes this weekend. And in Real Madrid's case, some of those guys, you know, we keep talking about how the squad is just so good, but they're getting older. And then somehow they find players to just kind of plug in and take those spots that they're starting to lose those players, such as like Sergio Ramos. You know, he's in late 30s, so who knows, we may see him playing MLS or somewhere else. But no, this matchup is going to be a good matchup. And again, going back to Christian Pulisic, I hope that he takes advantage of this very good matchup, Real Madrid Chelsea, and hopefully he can put a few goals in for Chelsea. I mean, it'd be great if he could get one this Tuesday, but we shall see. And again, this matchup Tuesday, April 27th at 2 p.m. So you're a Real Madrid fan, I know there's a ton of Real Madrid fans in Houston and in the U.S. period, obviously all over the world, but and as well as Chelsea fans. So definitely catch that game. And we'll go ahead and move to the other really good matchup. This is going to be a fun one. This is going to be, let's see who has more money and who's putting it where they should be putting it, basically. And that's PSG versus Man City. PSG is playing extremely well. They've looked fun. Neymar, it's, you know, playing with Joga Bonito, like Rodrigo had mentioned. And he is just fun to watch. And they won yesterday against Mets 3-1. And Mbappe is just, you know, this scoring machine. He uses his speed and his amazing finish and got a brace against their opponent. And they're just fun to watch. I mean, it seems like they didn't get more rest. Looking at their lineup, it looks like they pretty much play with their starting 11. There may be like one or two players that tend to start that sit on the bench. And yeah, it was just fun to see them. And I really don't want to root for any of these guys just because I'm one of those people that don't like just so much money and people coming out and just, you know, in a way. But it's great, right? If it's done well, it's always good to see, you know, a struggling club before and see them now being like a project club and just seeing how good they are. And in my opinion, I think Pep Guardiola is one of the probably top 3 coaches in the world. So I'm always going to lean to Man City, especially after Pep was with Barcelona and did such great stuff with that club that I follow. But Rodrigo, what do you want to add to this matchup? I don't know. I didn't talk too much about Man City, so feel free to pick them apart or just talk about their cup win today if you wanted to hit that. But yeah.
Yeah, so PSG, Man City, we're getting the battle of the riches, basically. See who can finally buy themselves that cup that they've always wanted. And I guess I'll start with Man City. As you mentioned, they played the EFL Cup, Carabao Cup, against Tottenham. Honestly, you watch this Man City team play under Pep, and you just see a dominating performance all the time. They had 21 shots, only 4 on target though against this Tottenham team, where Tottenham was only able to get 1 shot on target and only had 2 overall. So you just kind of see how much of a difference level, I guess, Man City has compared to these other teams. As far as in the CONCACAF region, we did see Zach Steffen be in goal. So this is his first, I guess, official trophy lift, you can say, as a starter with the team. So this is obviously, you know, something good for him. I'm not 100% sure if he was part of the other wins on the bench, most likely. But anyways, Man City win. Same thing with a good team. Probably the same thing we're going to be looking at for the Champions League against PSG. Same kind of lineup. We might just see, obviously, Ederson in goal instead of Zach Steffen. And everybody else is going to be about the same thing. Their defense might change. I know Kyle Walker has been in and out of the lineup. But overall, Man City, they have plenty of depth. And we're going to see a PSG team which has all the stars. One player that I guess he gets overlooked, and to me he seems like one of the better players for this PSG team is going to be Marco Verratti. The Italian just brings so much composure, so much level to this team, and he, you know, the stars from Neymar and Mbappe get taken away from his ability or what he showcases. But without him, I feel like he gives Mbappe and Neymar a little bit of more freedom, and it allows them to create more, since he's so good at, you know, getting control of the ball, making the right decisions, opening up the play. So I think we're going to see PSG, I don't know, I think we're going to see them try to dominate more, but Man City with Pep is going to try to hold as much as they can with the ball and create as many opportunities as they can when they have it. But it's going to be PSG trying to get those interceptions, just get possession back and just go at it. So I think this is going to be probably the best match we're going to get this week. I kind of wish this was a final just to see like who can finally lift this trophy. But I don't know. I kind of want to say PSG. You know, we have the Costa Rican Keylor Navas in goal, and he's done such an amazing job. So I want to say they could even keep a clean sheet, but you have De Bruyne, you know, being a absolutely midfield maestro, I guess you can call it, and dominating in all aspects when he has the ball. The passes he plays is just unbelievable to watch sometimes. That you don't even see, like, how did he even manage to see that? But he plays it right through, and next thing you know, it's a goal for Man City. So this is going to be a really interesting match to watch.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Keylor Navas and obviously Zach Steffen saw action this weekend and was able to help Man City win a trophy. But yeah, this PSG, Man City, like you mentioned, there's so many great matchups this week. And that one probably is a standout just because it should be a final. PSG may have the upper hand in the sense of they did play a final last year. And obviously with that, they have a ton of pressure to make it again to the final. And it's just very fun to see Mbappe just continue to play very well and use that counterattack to take down some teams.
Yeah, and one thing that I guess it doesn't get talked as much, but so just looking back at PSG and their coaching staff, so we know Tuchel's now with Chelsea, and Pochettino is with PSG, which to me is kind of funny because I thought he was a great coach. He obviously took Tottenham to the Champions League final the year that Liverpool ended up winning it, 2019, and had a rough start with Tottenham the next season and got sacked. I didn't think that was fair. When I saw this coach, I was like, okay, somebody has to pick him up. Somebody's going to pick him up. And he went a while without, you know, just nobody wanted him. I was surprised. And then when I saw Mourinho get announced, I was like, okay, I mean, I don't know if that's the best decision, but, you know, Tottenham, I guess they kind of know better. And then we see Mourinho get sacked and PSG's you know, having a chance at another final. So I just thought that was an interesting thing that I guess happened. And maybe Potosino can actually get this Champions League trophy.
Yeah, it'd be definitely fun to see PSG, which is funny because they've been winless and I think three matches against Man City in European competition, which is kind of funny. But yeah, with that being said, Rodrigo's going to add one more thing.
I just want to know, so who do you think has the best possibility of winning the tournament? Like, who's your favorite? Like, okay, if I put $100 down, this team has to win it.
Man, that is such a tough. I mean, you know, whenever you play games like video games like FIFA, these are like the teams that you always pick, right? People see Real Madrid, Chelsea, PSG, Man City. I think all of them have a little bit different. You know, Real Madrid has like such a great overall solid team. They have a very good coach that's won 3 Champions League. And then Chelsea is more of a younger, like a mix, a good mix of very young talent and some older solid players, especially in their defense. But their coach is very inexperienced, right, in this type of tournaments. And then you have PSG, like you mentioned, they went to a final. They have Pochettino, which took Tottenham to a final. Sadly, they lost. But PSG just has a really good balance. And I think they probably will be my favorite to win it. And Man City, though, Man City has such a really good coach. I mentioned Pep Guardiola probably being top 3 coaches in the world. They definitely, you know, if you look at their team maybe 5 years back, it doesn't, you know, a lot of players, they're young, obviously extremely talented, maybe not as well known. So in a way, kind of gives that, you know, they used to just buy players. It was like just buy players, throw them in the starting lineup. They're using a lot of younger academy players, or they pick up academy players from other leagues, especially the Spanish league. So overall, I think the talent the PSG has with players such as Marco Baretti, which is, you know, those are very, very, what is it called? Now I'm just having a Rodrigo moment. But they're very, very important positions. And having players, they can be, you know, take full control of the ball, and then having players as an Mbappe or a Neymar. I mean, you know, when those guys are on, they're healthy, they're playing well. It doesn't matter how they play you, right? They can keep all the possession. They can play counterattack. I mean, we know what Mbappe is. So yeah, my pick, $100, PSG. You? Same thing.
With all of what you've said, no, I honestly can see PSG against Real Madrid in the final, and I would have to take Madrid 100% on this one. You got to respect Zidane and what he's done with the club and the team, and throughout all the struggles, bought play, or I guess requested players that they wanted, which haven't, you know, like Eden Hazard has not really been part of the team because of all the injuries and everything, but Madrid is still dominating. I mean, they're second in their table. I think Barca has a chance to surpass them, but I know they want to at least get a trophy. And if you're going to get a trophy, the Champions League trophy has to be the one. And looking for that, I believe 14th
Champions League. And like I said, the big thing with Real Madrid is the experience. All these guys and their roster have won so many Champions League. Know what it takes to be in a final, know how to win a final. It's just that experience, you know. It doesn't matter if you're getting old, just, you know, you calm your nerves, you take care of business. And I mean, Real Madrid is just pure class, and they win. I mean, that's how they get it done. So yeah, I can see that too.
And I think the biggest thing I want a PSG versus Madrid final is because we saw Keylor Navas win 3 Champions League with Madrid. Now they played he played a final with PSG, and everybody was always saying Ronaldo and Zidane were the team to beat, or that's the reason that they got the Champions League. Me as an ex-goalkeeper, I would say, you know, Navas was the reason they got the Champions League. But I don't know, I think it'll be fun to watch them against the whole team.
All right, well, with that being said, till next time.
Make sure to like, share, and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to it. And if you have suggestions for an episode or you want to be featured, reach out to us on Twitter at Borders Soccer and at Crossing Soccer Borders on Instagram. Thanks again, and see you next time.